You were probably expecting this morning to have Annalise talk to you about the Justice Conference that she went to a few weeks ago. Sorry, it just lumbered with me. However, do not despair, because Annalise will come and speak to us. She'll explain that when she has a voice back and is feeling a little better, hopefully in the new year. But I do want to stick to that theme of justice that has been our theme this morning anyway, and actually is going to follow us through Advent as we think about what Advent is about, as we think of this season where we are preparing for the coming, the advent of God into this world. As we think about that, this is the time when we wait, when we reflect, when we prepare ourselves. But how does God want us to prepare ourselves through Advent? Well, I've got absolutely no doubt you'll be preparing through Advent. We always do, don't we? You'll be preparing for lots of things. You will be preparing for those times when you get together with family and friends, and your relatives, wherever they are, and you have times together. So you have to prepare for that. They'll be preparing food. Lots of food. If our families are anything to go by. Then there'll be the things that you prepare to give to people as an expression of your thanks, supposedly entering into the Christmas spirit. So you give them cards. You give them gifts that you'll wrap up and bless them with. And of course, there's preparing our homes. We try to make it a little different, don't we? So that we get to Christmas and we know what Christmas is really about. But as the enthusiasm can sometimes get carried away with us, we get our preparation wrapped up and we're thinking about decorations and the tree and so on. Is that the preparation God really wants of us this year? So you might be thinking, well, he's obviously thinking about more religious things. Church services, carol services and nativity plays. Of course, because we like going to those. That's a good thing. All of this is good, isn't it, to celebrate these things. And this is very definitely the season of nativity plays, isn't it? This is the season that causes stress to Sunday school teachers, to teachers in schools up and down the country, as they have to negotiate the politics of who plays Mary and who plays Joseph. And will Joseph trip over the manger and cause chaos with the shepherds? And will Mary, as she's walking off the stage, drop baby Jesus? And, you know, all sorts of things that go through the teachers' minds. Will it all go wrong? Will one of the sheep fall off the stage and start crying and mum have to come and rescue? And then, of course, there's the fear. There's the fear about who will play the innkeeper. Have you chosen the right person? Or did you choose a child with a rebellious streak? You know what I'm talking about, that child that all the way through rehearsals has spoken out their lines beautifully right up to the big event. And then just as Joseph knocks on the door of the inn, asking, is there room inside? Fully expecting him to say, no, there's no room in the inn. Has that mischievous little smirk on his face and says, yes, come on in, help yourself. Nativity plays, decorations, family festivities, fun. It's good to have fun. And part of the run-up to Christmas is fun and laughter. And I'm all for that. No wonder they say this is the season to be jolly. Except when you look a little bit deeper, for some people, it's a season to be anything but jolly. And I want to give that more than a second thought as we prepare for how we can show God's heart at Christmas. I want to think and just spare a thought for people who are going through challenging times this Christmas. I don't want to knock the wonderful things and the joyful things we've spoken about. Please don't get me wrong. But did Jesus really come just to give us that quaint nativity image that is lovely in a school nativity play in front of a church with young people and on our Christmas cards? Or did he come for more than that? In truth, the coming of Jesus at Christmas was a much more gritty event. It's a story that involves hardship and hurts and tears and God's heart to do something about what he saw. Because at the very heart of Christmas, at the very heart of what Advent is all about, is bringing what that candle speaks about, hope. Hope to people who don't have it. And then to do something about it, to right the wrongs and bring justice. So let me come back to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Not now when he comes into this world as a baby, but when he first begins, day one, literally, day one of his ministry. It's Nazareth. Let me set the scene. Jesus has just been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And God has said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." But then the Holy Spirit takes him into the wilderness and tests him for 40 days and 40 nights. And in that process, demonstrates his absolute commitment to serve God and his purposes alone. And then he comes back and begins his ministry, day one. And he goes to Nazareth, the place where he was brought up, and he enters the synagogue, as is his practice. And the attendant passes him the scroll, which happens to be the scroll from Isaiah. And Jesus opens the scroll, and he opens it to the place where he reads these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll again and he handed it back to the attendant. And he took his seat. He sat down, and all eyes fixed on him. And he said, "In your hearing now, this scripture is fulfilled." Day one of Jesus' ministry. That's why Jesus came. He came to bring good news to people who needed it. He didn't come to give us just the quaint nativity story. He came to do something about the people in this world who are the most broken and hurting. He came not just to give us this nice image of the Christmas story, but to go on and address the problem that caused such brokenness in this world. It's not just a quaint story. It is a gritty reality that Jesus came and he gave himself so that the most vulnerable and broken and hurting in society found hope. What that candle is all about. He came to bring a reason for being. That however bad things are, there's something eternally better that he would bring. He came for the brokenhearted, for the lost, for the blind, to heal the sick. He came to set the captive free, and not just the captive that we think of as someone who's in prison. Those who are oppressed with whatever life throws at them, oppressed by people who abuse them, oppressed by people who reject them, who regard them as outlaws or outcasts of society. Those who are oppressed by health issues, those who struggle to cope with day-to-day life, those who have addictions and fears and depression, those for whom hopelessness is a reality. That's why Jesus came at Christmas. And he came because that's the heart of God, to reach out into the brokenness and hurt of this world and bring healing and comfort to the injustices of this world, and to right wrongs and bring justice. So my encouragement for us this morning is to think really seriously as we go on through Advent, through this whole season, to look to see if we might share the heart of God to people who are more akin to this, as we navigate this time of celebration. It is good, don't get me wrong, it is really good to celebrate with one another, but it is right also to mourn with those who mourn, because that is what Jesus did. Quick quiz question. What is the shortest version in the Bible? What is it? Where is it? Yes! It is in John somewhere. It's in John 11, verse 35. It's one of, I don't remember lots of words. I could remember that sentence. And I always remember John 11, 35. Jesus wept. That's the reason I asked Lorinda to read that passage. You might have been thinking to yourself, come on, time of celebration, Christmas is coming. Why on earth are we reading about some guy that died and smelled? And did you really want to go into that? Yes, because that shows the heart of God. Let me explain. Jesus obviously was in Jerusalem, Bethany, where Lazarus lived and was sick and lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha, was just a couple of miles away. But Jesus was delayed in going there. He left a period of time to pass. So when he finally got there, Martha comes out and meets him. If you just come, Lord. But he's died. And then we read these really telling verses. Let me just read these two to you. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And verse 35, Jesus wept. That verse is a really healthy reminder of Jesus' humanity and his heart and God's heart for people. In the face of the tragedy of losing a friend, he has empathy alongside those who are grieving. Why? Because that is the heart of God. That didn't have to be Jesus' response. He could, because he knew that he was going to bring him back from the dead and raise him up. He could have come with a different attitude. He could have said, come on, it's nearly Christmas, I'm here, come on, I'm going to bring him back from the dead, everything will be fine. But that's not what Jesus said. He wept, he mourned with those who mourned. Something really powerful in that. They say, don't they, laughter is infectious. Well, it is. But you know, the act of shedding a tear can be an immensely unifying human expression of emotion. And it's usually triggered by situations of pain, loss, fear, frustration, sorrow, anger, hopelessness, helplessness. Are you telling me that those things don't also exist this Christmas time? Which would you rather do? Would you rather laugh in the infectious way with people at a party, or would you rather mourn with those who mourn? Of course, one is the one we would choose, the laughter. It is easy, it's fun. In our British Western culture, it's much easier to embrace laughter. They say it's good for the soul. But when it comes to tears, when it comes to being alongside someone who's suffering, we're a bit more hesitant, aren't we? It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. We don't really like doing it. But Jesus wept. And it's not the only time that he wept. Do you remember Easter story? Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. And the crowds are all around him. And they're cheering and they're waving branches. And it's great celebration. Hosanna to the King of Kings. And Jesus is there. And we read, he looked at Jerusalem and he wept for them. He could have got caught up in the celebration. He could have got caught up, but he knew the hearts of the people that he was coming to. And he saw the superficiality of the joy that was there. Not understanding, he knew these people didn't know why he was there. And ultimately they would reject him and lose everything. And he wept. Doesn't that tell us why Jesus came into this earth? Because he cared about those who were hurting. That is the compassion of God. And that's what that song was that we sang a few moments ago. I have absolutely no doubt that God wept for humankind from the first day of his creation as he tried to reach out and engage with them, only to find them turn their backs on him and stubbornly reject him. I believe God wept. As things then went catastrophically wrong and they arrogantly responded as we always do, and I did it my way, I believe God wept. As children and old people needlessly died of cruelty and starvation, God wept. As our planet is relentlessly plundered and ravished by selfishness and greed, I believe God weeps. As God sees the injustices in our society, the loneliness that exists in our community, right out there in houses I guarantee are just a stone's throw from here, I believe God weeps. As he looks at communities that are dysfunctional and families that are divided and children are confused and hurting and don't know who they are, God weeps. And I have no doubt that God was weeping as he waited patiently for the perfect time to send his gift into this world to be an answer to that. He sent Jesus. I believe God wept. And you might think, hey, but the nativity story, at least that's a real positive, isn't it? That's full of joy. Really? I wonder how it was for God to be separated from his son, his perfect, sinless son. To be separated, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, uniquely one in community, to be separated knowing that he would come down to this world to be rejected and abused and beaten and killed. I wonder if God wept. And then the tale of the nativity story itself. Do you realize how gritty that story really is? And I imagine there were undoubtedly tears as Mary told her parents that she was expecting a baby outside of wedlock. I imagine there were tears of anger and disappointment and shame. When Joseph heard that he needed to take his perfect future bride, now tainted, and marry her anyway, surely there must have been weeping in the night with frustration and doubt and fear and pain and confusion. As Mary tried to understand what was happening to her physically, spiritually, emotionally, socially, suddenly having done this, being judged and an outcast. Surely there must have been times where the tears flowed in a sense of helplessness, even though she knew it was a place of privilege. That's the reality of Christmas too. And it is great to celebrate the good things and joy, but it is right to mourn with those who mourn. And I want to encourage us, therefore, to think about how we might do that as we go through Christmas and seek to find God's perspective by inviting God to be at the heart of situations where there is hurt and brokenness. To give you a little bit of inspiration, just to think for a minute, watch this video clip.
This year, we're finally going to get Christmas right. Because when we see Jesus, we're getting Christmas right.
So I am not advocating that we scrap the good things and the joyful things that you've enjoyed. I am inviting us to see where God might be in it. But I'm then inviting us to go beyond that as the video ended, just thinking about those for whom it's a struggle to see Christmas as being those things. Those for whom perhaps circumstances mean they don't want to put up decorations. They have no money to put up decorations. They have no home to put decorations up in. They have no friends to invite to be part of it. And as we go through this Advent season, I wonder whether we dare pray that God would put situations in our hearts where we can bring his justice by bringing comfort to those who need comfort, by just giving a few minutes to listen. Maybe even when you're late and you're going to miss the bus or you really got to go for another meeting, just to stop for a second and listen to that person who's pouring their heart out at the checkout, because that's what they're going through right now. To think who perhaps lives in our street, in our community, who doesn't have anyone to invite them round. Maybe we could invite them round. Or maybe we could say, do you mind if I come pop over tomorrow and bring some mince pies with me? And just take the love of God with us. To just find opportunities for those who are the most broken. Yesterday, Lorinda was in London and she said, it's heartbreaking to walk through this busy city, this rich city of London in this country, and see people living in a tent on the street. And that's happening here in Colchester. And some don't have a tent. I wonder whether when we go shopping, when we're full of, oh, I've got to buy this, I've got to get him, I've got to do that, will they be upset? Is this the wrong present? Will they re-gift it? Instead of getting obsessed with those things, to actually have an eye open as we go through Advent to say, is there someone I can just buy a burger for or give a coffee to, pray for, sit, talk, listen. I want to encourage us to have the heart of God this Christmas. And I challenge you to pray for him to give you people that you can pour your love of God, the love of God, out into. It is right to celebrate, but it's good to mourn with those who mourn. And as a word of encouragement from you, the psalmist writes, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. May God help us to be his hands and feet over this season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your example to us is astounding. Jesus' compassion and love and action is inspirational. Oh Lord, that we could be that people. Lord, will you show us what we can do to truly bring justice, to give the time of day for someone who the world constantly says they have none for you. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the courage and the willingness to seek your heart in this season, and then to bring Jesus into every opportunity and every conversation we have. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.